Okay. We're going to start with the most impressive graduates first. Who said that? Who hollered me? Maverick hollered me. Of course, that's, yeah. Kindergarten. So, all right, Mr. Levi Husky. Come on up here, Levi. Is he back here? Oh, here he is. He's coming from the back.
Oh, here we go.
Come on up here, buddy. Parents, feel free to walk up here and take photos if you want. Miss Emma Husky. She's coming from the back pew, too. He would not expect me to say his name any other way. Cooper Roland.
All right. There you go.
Super Coop.
Come on over here, big man. Come on over here.
I'm going to say her name correctly since I never do. Miss Claudia Ogle. Do we have any more graduates of the kindergarten?
She's getting pictures.
Hang on. Hey, Hawk, fly up here. Oh, come on. All right.
Fly back here.
All right, take that to Miss Melnick. She'll fill it out for you.
Fill that right here.
Hey, all right. Get you one right here. Oh, we got another. Here we go. We got.
Hey, you want to come over here and sit real quick?
We're going to have Nancy and them take some pictures, too.
Wait a minute. Go to Miss Melanie. Yeah.
We got a lot of little kindergarten guys. You hold that, and she'll get you filled out.
Congratulations on graduating. It's a big honor.
Congratulations. Okay, she needs a paper.
Oh, she needs a paper.
All right, here we go. Can you hold this right here? We're going to get you guys. She's going to fill y'all. I think we got more than the school
Wait,
had.
Let Miss Melanie fill that out for you. How much is the gift card for?
$30.
They also get a $30 gift card to Walmart because first grade school supplies can be demanding these time of the year, this year, so. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, we gotta get a photo.
Come down here a lot.
Yeah.
We'll get her down here with
you. Huh? Our class of 2023 kindergarten graduates. Great job.
That's the big kids right there.
That's big dogs. Bunch of eighth graders here.
Love it.
Hey, why don't we... Eighth graders, why don't we start on the first step or second step and come up this way? You know what I mean?
That
way,
yeah. Get them all in.
All right, Miss Madeline Fox. Miss Dixie Ogle. Miss Cheyenne Bird. Miss Sydney Bird. One of the best hairdos in the house, Mr. Ethan Burns.
All right. We'll get him back up here.
Parker Ogall.
I'm going to park your guy.
Okay.
Okay.
And Mr. Mac Metcalf. Do we have any more 8th grade graduates?
Right here behind you.
Phones. Come up here to Miss Mel.
Got another right here.
Come on, come up here to Miss Mel.
Hey, don't miss out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So y'all think we need a school or?
Amen, right? Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So do we need more gift cards?
Outside the ones I already had.
Yeah. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2023 eighth grade class. Now on to our high schoolers. All right. We're going to do, we got two that did not apply for the scholarship. We got Mr. A.J. Ogle first. Is A.J. here today? Mr. Braden Pickle. I don't think Braden's not here. Okay. All right. These are our scholarship recipients. They're receiving a check for $500 and a gift card to Walmart. So, yes. So, first one up, Miss Kaylee Fox. Miss Tori Garmany. What we refer to as years as the honor student, Mr. Gabe Hayes. Miss Taylan Tramp. Miss Emily Maples.
Congratulations.
One. Okay. Mr. Easy E. Eli Bohanna. All of these are recipients of the RCBC scholarship, which awards them $500 and the gift card. If you have a senior approaching, get with us. We'll tell you what you need to do to be involved in that. Do we have any more graduates, high school graduates, that did not? Huh? Judson, get up here, Judson. Is Carly here? Oh, where's she at? Carly, get up here.
Hey, a couple of you girls talk down.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Judson, come back here and make sure she's got your name correct.
Amen.
Amen. As a youth pastor, I'd like to say this. These folks right here, they're incredible. And they're going to change the world one day. And I honestly think they'll change it for the good Lord, too. They've been incredible to have in the youth group. They're all leaders. A lot of them been on most of the trips, but they're just incredible young people for our community. We're so proud of them. Our 2023 high school graduates.
Wait a minute. High school guys, we forgot
to... High schoolers, come up here. We got Bibles for you. Yes, we present our high schoolers with a Bible. Yes.
And those last ones, we're going to get you yours. We just had those already.
Yeah, before you... I think we've got them in the office, don't we? Yeah. So we'll get them for you before you leave. All right, now on to our college graduates. All right, Miss Jaden Thomas. I don't know if Jaden's here or not. Miss Haley Muse.
She's not here today.
Sophie Henry. Miss Destiny Ayers. Brother to Easy E, the amazing Eli, Avery Bohannon. Miss Sierra Robbins. Congratulations. And we have a, do we have any more collegiate? Well, I've heard she, but come on. Now,
yep.
We have a Virginian in the house here, okay? Her and Sophie went to school together. Miss Avery Price, she graduated too this year. They got to campus the same day and been together ever since, played ball together, so. Hey, I wasn't going to do it, so they pointed you out.
I knew they would.
Okay.
I knew it.
Okay, we have a very special collegiate graduate among us today, too, and we're all very proud of him. And but Dr. David Ayers here has graduated with his second doctorate in clinical pastor counseling. Yeah. Yes. Sir, here is your $30 gift card.
Thank you very much.
Our 2023 and a really old graduate.
Mistakes. Trump today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
me, if you will. We'll look at our scripture this morning. We're going to be in Joshua chapter number 1. I thought, if we want to think about graduation and that next step, stepping up in the world and assuming those responsibilities that we've really never had before, getting into the real world, the adult world, I thought, what better scripture could we really go to as far as a concept than to look at the life of Joshua? So we're going to begin in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the first 9 verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Fathers, we think about the life of Joshua. We think about this calling. When you set him aside for this specific task to lead the people in conquering the land of Canaan and taking it over and possessing that land, the enemies that were there and the battles they had to stand in, and God, all the other obstacles that they had, not only from the enemies that indwelt the land, but within their own people, the difficulties they had. It was a huge task, but God, we know that when you call us, that you always equip us, and you equip Joshua to do exactly what needed to be done. We know that Moses' days were limited, Father, and we know that you were setting aside a man to step up and to be that next leader in that next phase of the life of your people. Today, God, as we look into this passage of Scripture, we know that regardless of where we're at, what age we are, if we have kindergarten graduates, eighth grade, high school, college, those have been graduated for a long time, and some that are old like me and still graduating, God, we see that there's still a purpose for each one of us. And we know, God, that you're preparing us and setting us aside for specific things to do in our life to honor you and to glorify you. And we pray that we could follow the example of Joshua and be the godly people we need to be. Have your way as we look into your word and help us, God, to be reminded of some simple, basic, fundamental truths that we need to continue to be reminded of. Pray your blessings. Forgive me of my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. I know y'all were worried that, you know, with the graduation recognition and stuff, service being a little lengthy, I might not get my time to preach. But don't worry. I'm going to get my time to preach. It's going to be all fine. So y'all were worried about that, I know. When we think about Joshua and the stepping up and the leadership, verse number 2 to me is it kind of exemplifies what graduation's all about. Verse number 2 again, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. It's kind of like, okay, big boy, what are you going to do? You know, when you get that diploma, you graduate high school, we have this idea and concept of what we want to do, what we think we're going to do. Most time it doesn't ever pan out that way. It doesn't ever go exactly the way we want it to go. But when we reach that moment in life, big changes happen. I know kindergarten's a big deal, you know, and I get eighth grade is a big deal. And I get, you know, when you graduate, college is a big deal. But something about graduating from high school and entering into that world, meaning you go into that workforce and immediately just start a job, some build on a career. But it's life-changing because we feel as though we're considered an adult then, and we will be recognized somewhat as an adult. So it's a big deal. It's a big step. So I think that's kind of where Joshua was at when he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, you arise and get all these people and cross over this Jordan into the land that I'm going to set aside for you. So in order for Joshua to be the kind of man he needed to be the true graduate that he needed to be, there's a few things that I want us to look at that I think made him great in the eyes of the Lord and that can make you and I great as we continue to go through life. The first is found in Numbers chapter number 14, verses 6 through 9. Said, Joshua said, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. And notice what he calls them. They are bread to us. They're bread. We're just going to eat right through them. They are nothing in opposition. No, he said, they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So when we think about Joshua and Caleb and those other 10 that went out to spy the land, remember Moses set aside a representative from each tribe, and all those 12 men went to spy the land. God had already said that it's a land that flows with milk and honey. God had already said that here's what you're going to see when you go over there. So when they went and they spied the land, what did Joshua and Caleb, what was their report they came back with? It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It's exactly the way God said. Everything is exactly to the T what God said it was going to be. So now let's go in there and possess the land. Let's take it over. Let's conquer the land. God's given it to us. But the other 10 said, oh, we can't do it. We can't go in there because there were giants in there. Did God lie about it because he didn't say anything about there being giants? No. God never addressed the issue of giants being in there. But here's what God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and I have given you this land to possess.
Amen.
So if that's what God says, you know what? We really don't need to worry about whatever else happens. Oh, wait a minute, God, you forgot there are giants in there. Did you not realize, God, that it was inhabited already? I wonder how many of the Hebrews thought when they crossed over Jordan into that land, thought, well, man, you know what's going to happen? We're just going to walk in there and it's going to be uninhabited, or either the people that are there are going to just understand and accept an eviction notice and they're just going to leave. I think they understood that it was going to come with great difficulty. It was going to be a work and a process. There were going to be battles that were going to happen in order for them to possess the land. I don't think they were dumb to that fact. But you see, where you and I have got to get as Christians is we've got to get where Joshua was and say, you know what? I choose to just believe simply what God said, and I'm going to hang on to that. I can't worry about if there are giants there. I can't worry about the opposition that's going to be there. I can't worry about the obstacles I'm going to have to face. God knows about them, and God's preparing me for them, and he'll give me what I need when I need in that regard. I've got to hang on to just the Word of God. That's what I got to do. How many times in life do we let situations cause us to not cling to the Word of God, but to worry, to stress, to doubt, to fear? You know what that is? That's sin. Because we're not believing and trusting and holding on to the Word of God. We're worried more about the obstacles we face and the adversity that's in our lives than we are believing and trusting in the fact that God called us and he's sending us and he will guide us and he'll provide for us and take care of us. When we show a lack in those areas and worry when we continually bring those things to God. But God, you didn't tell me about the giants. God, you didn't tell me about all the people. You didn't tell me about the fortified cities that we're going to have to stand up against. We're not soldiers, and we can't fight and win and beat those people. Think God didn't know that? They didn't have to fight. What did they have to do? They just had to believe and trust in God. So holding on to the truth of the Word of God is a big deal. If we want to truly be great in the kingdom of God, we've got to have the heart and mind of a child, right? It's not that we need to be young in our actions, but we need to have that youthful faith and trust and simple belief in God that God can do everything that God says He can. And whatever obstacles arise, we just cling to Him and trust in Him. I was talking with someone a little while back about belief and was asked the question about the Word of God. I said, do you believe the Word of God? And I said, well, yeah, I do. How do you know it's true? How do you know it's real? How do you know this is the only one, or how do you know this is the right way, the only way? And it's a valid question, you know. It's not that he was trying to entrap me, but just starting a conversation. And it's like, well, that's a pretty valid question. How do I know that this is real? Why do I cling to this as opposed to every other belief that there is out there? And then he presented me with some different thoughts and ideas that are in the world of different gods that people pray to. A lot of the Gnostic writings and things will have different and allude to different kind of gods and different things. So he said, how do you know some of those are not true? How do you know that that's not the true way to be saved or to guarantee a spot in heaven? Or what about people that choose to just say, well, I just don't want to believe in anything? You know what? We have to believe in something.
Amen, that's right.
Whether you accept it or not, or whether those people you talk to and witness to accept it or believe it, truly want to agree with it or not, they believe something. Let's say, well, I just believe in nothing. Well, then that's what you believe in. You believe in nothing. And honestly, if you think about it, to not believe in God is to really believe in nothing, isn't it? So why is it that I believe the Word of God? Why do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it because you grew up in a family that you felt like it was beat in your head, and if you didn't believe the Word of God, you're just going to die and go to hell? Were you scared into believing the Word of God? Were you convicted into believing the Word of God? Why do I believe the Word of God? And what is it about Joshua that caused him to be somebody that really stood on his belief? He said, God told us, it doesn't matter if we are grasshoppers in their sight. God said, we're going to go in there, we're going to conquer the land, we're going to possess it, and we're going to win. So we got to believe that and act accordingly. What made him believe that? Because he was convicted, he was inspired, and he embraced who God was. You and I got to choose who and what we believe.
Amen.
And we need to get a hold of something. Man, we live in a world today that believes everything except the truth, right? Man, don't you get discouraged watching TV? Don't you get... People want to believe in themselves more than they want to believe in anything else. They want to believe in what they can do. They want to believe in their thoughts. They want to let their ideas run wild and embrace ungodliness because, well, it was conceived in my mind and it's something I want to do, so I'm just going to embrace it and that's good with me. How sad it is for people that don't cling to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You see, the lost world feels like, I think, that we're enslaved and trapped. And, oh, you Christians, boy, you guys really got a wonderful life, don't you? You guys have to bow down and pray to a God that you can't even see. You have to live your whole life honoring Him in order to go to a place where you can have some sort of enjoyment. And what if that place don't even exist? Oh, my goodness, when I got saved and I truly embraced Jesus Christ, everything opened up and I began to understand exactly who God was, as much as a 7-year-old kid can. But I started to understand, wow, if I'd known this was this good, or God was this good, I'd have got saved at 3, but I didn't have the knowledge then. I didn't have the understanding then. The lost world doesn't have a clue what they're missing out on. We got to pray for them because they're lost and they're going to hell. But they think they're okay. They think everything's wonderful. They think everything's fine. But you got people around you, don't you, that you work with, go to school with? You got people in your family that are lost? Pray for them. Why? Because if they're lost, they're going to hell, and they need to know about Jesus. They need to believe in Him because He is the only way unto salvation. Why do I reject and denounce Jesus? some of those other pagan gods, because I feel like I'm inspired by the Spirit of God to embrace this Word of God, and that it is the Word of God, and I believe it to be true. So I'm going to give everything I've got to it. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to preach it as long as I can, and I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ is going to take care of everything if I just hold on to Him. It's not rocket science. It's simple belief in holding on to the Word of God, and that's exactly what Joshua did. The second thing he did is that he prayed. I love this passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 33. It said that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaking unto his friend. Boy, wouldn't that be cool to hear God just sit down beside of you and start talking, and you hear His voice the way Moses did. I mean, God would just show up and talk to him random times. Oh, how wonderful that must have been. Well, we may not hear the audible voice, but we definitely, it's just as strong that what we sense and feel and receive from the Spirit of God when He speaks to us. But it said Moses spoke to him face to face, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a younger man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So there was a time when they were praying earnestly for God to answer, and God answered. So everybody went back to their own tents. Everybody went home. Moses got up, and he said, well, you know, it's kind of like, well, it's 12 o'clock. You know, preacher ought to be wrapping up. It's time for us to get out of here. Let's turn off the lights and go eat lunch. And so that was kind of the mindset. Everybody was done. Everybody was going home. But it said that Joshua, the son of Nun, remained in the tabernacle. Why did he remain in the tabernacle? Was he trying to make everybody see how holy he was? I don't think he knew who was even there. I don't think he acknowledged anybody in the place except him and God. Why did Joshua remain kneeling in the tabernacle of God? Because here's why. Because he wasn't done yet. He hadn't got all he came to get from God yet, and he stayed around until he got what he needed. Why? Because he was a man of prayer. If we want to truly be great in the kingdom of God, if we want to graduate to that next level in that spiritual walk with God, then we need to become people of prayer. Not just blessing your food, not just praying at night before you go to bed, not just waking up in the morning. I know folks will say, man, as soon as my feet hit the ground, first thing I do is pray to God. That's awesome. But we don't just need to have certain designated times of prayer, but we need to go in an attitude of prayer. Pray continually is what the Word of God says. So have that attitude of prayer. That's interesting, isn't it? When the Bible says have that attitude, what does that really mean? It means that, well, you know what an attitude is, right? Everybody got an attitude. Let your attitude be about prayer. Let your attitude be about communication with God to where wherever you're at, in whatever situation you're in, prayer is a part of your everyday life. Driving down the road, listen to a good song on the radio, and you just start talking to God, whether audibly or silent, but communicating with God, praying, lifting up those things. When somebody mentions a prayer request or you get a prayer request on the church app, pray for those people. Talking to God, communicating with God, expressing what's going on in your life. Pray. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Was God not going to get tired of hearing us pray? Because sometimes we'll get tired of hearing each other talk, don't we? I'm not looking at anybody in particular. That's Gabby. But do you sometimes go, I wish you'd just quieten down for a little while and give me a break? You know something? God's never going to say that to us. Because God wants to hear everything that's going on in our life. Well, God already knows it. Why do I need to pray if God already knows it? Fair question, right? When I pray, I acknowledge that I'm giving that situation to God. If I'm not praying, yeah, God knows about it. But I'm acknowledging my dependence on Him when I lift a request or a prayer or a praise up to Him. Well, God knows I love Him. Well, does He? We can tell Him we love Him. We can live a life that's demonstrating that we love Him. Prayer is a vital part of us graduating to that next level in our spiritual walk and our journey with God. So the third one is one I don't like so much. How good are you at accepting correction? Is anybody in here good at accepting correction? Don't raise your hand because I think you're lying if you do. I don't know anybody
that accepts correction well. We accept correction, but I don't know that we are really good at accepting correction. But there's a passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter number 11, verse 27, beginning it says, "There ran a young man and told Moses," and here's what he said, "Eldad and Medad," I'm going to say they're brothers, the dad brothers, "they do prophesy in the camp." So you got a couple of guys over here, Eldad and Medad. The dads are over here prophesying within the camp of Israel. So they're over here talking to people and they're prophesying. They're sharing from God's word. They're elaborating on the goodness of God or what they're preaching, whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing. So wind of this came from a young man to Moses. And here's what happened. Joshua, the very Joshua we're talking about here, he, the servant of Moses, he said, "One of these young men answered and said," and here's what Joshua said to him, "My Lord Moses forbid them." So Joshua heard about it. He went to Moses. He said, "Moses, there's some guys over there prophesying, and you need to quieten them down. You need to forbid them from preaching because, listen, you're our man right here, Moses. Nobody else needs to be even acknowledging God, talking to God. Nobody else has an avenue to God like you. So everybody else needs to keep their mouth shut and let you speak to us from God only." Wow, that sounds like some religions, don't it? "Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Moses said, "Listen, if he's telling what God wants him to tell, if they're out there preaching and sharing, prophesying the word of God, I'm not going to stop it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be thankful for it and I'm going to encourage it." Yeah, God called me as Moses to be the leader of these people and to lead them across these 40 years of wandering into the threshold of crossing the Jordan into that promised land of Canaan. But I'm thrilled when somebody else wants to praise God. I'm thrilled when somebody else wants to acknowledge God and let them know that there's hope in him and whatever they were saying. Joshua never said anything back to Moses. Nothing else is documented. You know what I believe about Joshua is that he came to him with what he thought was a legitimate problem. He thought that they were a threat to Moses. He was young, somewhat, and naive a little bit, and he took this situation to Moses, and Moses said, "Don't be envying on my account. I'm thrilled they're preaching. I'm thrilled they're talking about God. So don't worry about it, Joshua." And Joshua went on. When we are confronted about something we did wrong, how quick are we to accept the correction, or how quick are we to rebel and reject that correction? "Well, if you hadn't, blah, blah, blah," how quick are we to pass the blame to somebody else? You know, we got our, I don't know how many greats you go back, but we got a couple that did nothing but pass the blame on somebody else. Adam and Eve were really good at instituting that into us, that when we are caught in something we've done wrong, pass the blame to somebody else. Adam said, "If you hadn't have given me this woman..." Eve said, "If we hadn't been that serpent up there in the tree," it's awful easy for us to want to blame somebody else. But if we want to get to that next level in our spiritual journey and graduation and seeking what's next, we've got to be willing to accept correction. And you know, God shouldn't really have to beat us over the head for us to get it either. David sinned greatly, right? Murdered a man because he had an affair with his wife and she became pregnant. When Jonathan came to him and spoke to him and he said, "David, you're the man," David was broken before God. Psalm 51 shares with us that beautiful story of his repentance, you know, wailing and weeping and crying, praying for God's forgiveness. "Purge me with thy hyssop," he said. That hyssop is a weed that they would dip into the blood in the basin of the animal that had been sacrificed. They would dip it in almost like we would do a brush today. Hyssop, they'd dip it in and they'd sprinkle it seven times over that mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. They go outside and stand before the congregation of Israel and they'd sprinkle that blood of that animal that's applying the sprinkling of the blood. And so when David said, "Purge me with thy hyssop," he's saying, "Apply that blood of cleansing and forgiveness to me," is what David's crying out for. David was a broken man before God and he accepted correction. He said, "Yes, God, I have sinned. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. David acknowledged his wrongdoing before God. If we ever expect to get to that next level in our spiritual journey, we must own up to the things that we do wrong. I'm not saying you got to tell me about them or you got to tell anybody else about them, but you got to talk to God about them, and we got to get those things taken care of. We got to pray. We got to seek forgiveness. Peter wept bitterly after he denied Christ three times. He went out with a broken heart. Peter cursed the name of Jesus. And then Jesus, isn't it something what happened next? You know what happened next? Jesus forgave him and cleansed him. And David became a great pillar in one of the foundations of the church that began. And I'm thinking, wow, how can a man go from being so broken over his sin? And literally, I don't know, maybe he could have been at the verge of suicide for what he had done. How could I have done such a thing? I just told you I would die for you, and here I am denying you around a campfire. How could I do that? A man that could have been on the verge of suicide, because he was forgiven, it changed his life forever. When we're in sin, we don't think of it that way. But when we're in sin, let's try to go back to where we found out that, man, if we seek forgiveness and cleansing, it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what forgiveness will do in your life and will do in my life. It'll change us forever. And the final thing is that Joshua, he grew in the Lord. How long was he with him? He was with him about 40 years wandering through the wilderness, right? And then the end of those 40 years that he stepped up and became that man. Moses dead. Arise and lead these people across. So for 40 years, he'd watched how God had worked in the life of Moses. And then he was prepared because he grew in the Lord and God prepared him for what was next. Numbers 27, beginning in verse 16 says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be as a sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take thee, Joshua. So here God's already telling Moses, Moses, your time's about done. You know, we all know it's coming. You're not going in the promised land. They're almost ready to enter the promised land. So Moses, your days are about numbered here. And the usefulness I have for you here. So set aside somebody to prepare for this work. He said, set aside Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. So he said, all right, it's time for him to step up. Why? Because he had watched the life of Moses. And he had dedicated himself and committed himself to following the example that Moses set before him. He had grown in the Lord. How do we expect God to use us if we're not growing? How do we expect to be somewhere 10 years from now unless we're planning and preparing for where we're going to be in 10 years? You ever plan for a vacation? Oh, yeah, we get those reservations made early, you know. We lock it down. We plan where we're going to go, where we're going to eat, the things we're going to see, things we're going to do. While we want to make sure we lock those things down, and then we are preparing ourselves for that vacation. Well, in life, where do you think you're going to be 10 years from now? Well, I don't have a clue. That's a long time, is it? You know how quick 10 years goes by? That quick. Boom, and 10 years is gone. Where are you going to be in 10 years? What is the goal and the plan that you feel God has for you? Well, I don't know. I've never really thought about that. He has one. Do you want to know it? Do you want to know where God plans for you to be in 10 years from now? I don't know it, but he does, and he'll tell you. If we seek him and we grow in him. I want to finish with this passage of Scripture in Joshua 24. Beautiful Scripture, 14, 15. You know it all well. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Remember, Joshua's getting old now. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it's the God of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what did he say? we will serve the Lord. Amen. Do you want to be able to say that in your life? Do you want to be able to 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now to be able to say that? Well, then it's going to happen if you and I continually grow in the Lord and in His grace and in His mercy. If we continue to seek Him and to pray to Him and accept correction as it will be needed in our lives. Listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to us. God has a plan. God has a purpose, and all of it's prepared for us, and it's beautifully laid out. And He wants us to know it, but it's going to be by us seeking Him. It all starts with that relationship. Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? Have you graduated? Have you got to that point to where I know Jesus as my personal Savior? Now I'm ready to take that next step of growth with Him. I'm ready to grow in that grace. I'm ready to start building on that foundation of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, if the Spirit of God's dealing with you, don't leave today until you get saved. If right now you feel like the Spirit of God is telling you, you need to get saved because you haven't and you're under that conviction, don't leave today until you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no hope outside of Him. If you are saved, where are you at on that journey? Are you kind of just, you know, some people that I went to school with, it seems like they never really left high school. You know what I mean? Still living like they were back when we were 18, 19 years old. Never growing up, never taking on responsibility, never becoming who they should be and who God desires for them to be. We can be saved and just kind of be hanging around the high school, you know what I mean? 40-year-old guy hanging around the high school, that's cool. Or we can choose to grow in God. Don't be a baby spiritually forever. Grow in Jesus Christ. Stand with me as we begin our invitation. Father, as we come to You today, and we thank You so much. As Scotty's already said it, thank You for all those who we were able to recognize this morning that have graduated and stepped up to that next level in their lives. We know with each one comes challenges, God, and with each one comes great blessings. And God, we pray for each one this morning. We pray spiritually, God, for our graduation, for our stepping up to that next level, that next place, that next position that we need to be in. God, we're praying that right now, whatever's going on in our hearts and lives, whatever doubts and fears we have, whatever reservations we have, whatever sin that's in our life is not settled, God, that we get those things settled and get those things taken care of. We pray for You to be glorified in every heart and every life today. We pray You to have Your way in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You come this morning.